Grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Holy Week began this past Sunday with Palm Sunday, the day our Lord Jesus entered into Jerusalem triumphantly on the back of a donkey, thus fulfilling prophecy from Zechariah chapter 9. After cleansing the temple that afternoon, Jesus spent Monday and Tuesday of Holy Week moving in and out of Jerusalem and of the temple, teaching about the reign of heaven and predicting the fall of the city, the fall of the temple, and the fall of the Jewish religion. Nothing specific is known to us about Wednesday of Holy Week, and Thursday we know well as Maundy Thursday. Maundy comes from the Latin word mandatum, which means a mandate or command. And this title has stuck because of what the Lord Jesus said to his disciples in the upper room upon washing their feet. "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another." In connection with washing his disciples' feet, many Christians have taken this to be the centerpiece of Maundy Thursday, this action of Jesus of service to his disciples. And yet, Thursday and Friday of this Holy Week clearly revolve around the big event of the Passover and what that feast was all about from its very beginning. The church has historically considered its services on this Thursday as the beginning of a three-day-long service, what is called the Triduum. Thus, we began this service with the invocation, but tonight's time together will not end with the benediction. Tomorrow's services, remembering that of Good Friday, will not begin with an invocation nor end with the benediction. But finally, at the celebration of our Lord's resurrection, at the sunrise of Easter, we will conclude that service with the Lord's resurrection celebrated, and thus with the blessed words of the benediction returning. With such a focus upon the Passover and upon the suffering and the death of Jesus, why then has so much attention throughout the history of the church been given to washing the disciples' feet? It was obviously impactful enough for the Apostle John to include the specific details of this event in the writing of his gospel. And yet, when you consider the rest of the New Testament material, there is no other occurrence of any washing of any feet, not by the disciples who received this instruction of Jesus. And so Jesus has given an important clue. "What I am doing, you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand." Now, the washing of feet was truly a common practice in that part of the ancient world, with walking outside being the main mode of transportation throughout. Dust and mud, dirty feet were very commonplace. So much so that a slave or servant of the household was assigned that task for anybody who would enter into the house. They must wash their feet. And if there was no slave or servant in the house, then that work would go to the lowest ranked member of the household. Now the disciples called Jesus Lord and Teacher. So he was definitely not the lowest. And yet he does the work of washing his disciples' feet. When John the Baptizer was on the scene preaching repentance, he remarked that he himself was not worthy to stoop down and untie the very straps of the Messiah's sandals. That was the thought about feet and of their condition and their washing. Even so, there was Jesus, with a towel wrapped around his waist, working around the table of the Passover, washing each of his disciples' feet. And no opposition was met by Jesus until he came to Peter. "Lord, do you wash my feet?" "You shall never wash my feet," Peter said. Just like Jesus should never be rejected or suffer or die, Peter. But unless Jesus washes the feet, he said, there can be no connection and no share with Jesus. The switch flipped for Peter. "Well, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Typical Peter. Jesus teaches Peter that if Jesus says the feet are enough, then the feet are enough. Jesus' word itself has power, and Jesus is to be rightly obeyed in all matters. After he had finished washing their feet, Jesus put on his outer garments once more and resumed his place at the Passover table. "Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you also should do as I have done for you." Jesus said it himself. He has given them an example to follow, and yet there are no accounts and no records of feet washing in the New Testament. So what did Jesus really mean? Well, some churches have implemented the practice of taking turns washing each other's feet on this night, Holy or Maundy Thursday. Yet there is so much more that happens on that holy night. Jesus teaches more and more to his disciples throughout that evening, at least three chapters worth of John's gospel dedicated to the great upper room discourse. And what Jesus' service of washing feet does then is to serve as a type of the greatest service to come. Jesus said that he did not come into this world to be served, but to serve. And greater love, or in this case, service, has no one than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. The great act of service that Jesus has come to perform is for all mankind. It goes far beyond the physical cleansing of merely one body part. For Jesus Christ has come here into this world to cleanse mankind fully from sin and from death and from the power of the devil. And while Peter certainly wanted his whole body to be cleansed, Jesus' prescription for the feet was enough. For Jesus, the one and only God-man, was enough for the entirety of the world. And the suffering and death of Jesus would indeed atone for the sins of the whole world. Through the blood of Jesus would all be washed and cleansed of their sins. In connection with the Passover feast, the Lord Jesus then instituted the new covenant and a new feast to go with it. The one-year-old lamb had been sacrificed in Egypt many centuries before for the lives of the firstborn. And every year since, the people of God were to sacrifice hundreds of thousands of one-year-old lambs to remember that, to remember that salvation event from the Old Testament. Now Jesus, the one whom John the Baptizer called the Lamb of God, would be offered as the sacrifice for all mankind. His blood would be shed, poured out even for the sins of all the world. For without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. God has said in Hebrews chapter 9. And to remember that tremendous sacrifice. And even more than that, to continue to receive the very benefits of that sacrifice made by Jesus once for all. He himself attached his own body to the bread and his own blood to the wine. Thus, the body and blood of Christ our Lord is truly given and received in the bread and the wine of the Lord's Holy Supper, instituted that Holy Thursday night, with Jesus' death the next day being the validation of that sacred sacrament. And so on this night, we do remember that our Lord Jesus washed his disciples' feet. That itself was a menial task that no one longed to do, yet it was needed and needed to be done. The very next day, the Lord Jesus himself would wash the entire world through his own suffering and his own death upon the cross. That too was not a task that any one of us deserved, let alone from the only true God. And yet he is the one who has done exactly that, who has worked our salvation for us. For Jesus Christ is the one who performed the ultimate work of service for our forgiveness while we were still sinners. Jesus stooped down into his own creation, dirtying himself with our sin, and yet remaining our perfect and holy substitute. This is who Jesus is, the one who washes feet, the one who suffers and dies, the one who comforts and heals, even those who reject him and despised him. For he has come not to be served, but to serve. And serve is what he has done. He has given his life as the ransom for all. And you are baptized. And thus, you are washed in his holy blood, given his holy name. And you are fed and you are nourished in his holy supper. To Christ our Lord, then alone, be all praise and thanksgiving, now and forevermore. Amen. The peace that does pass all of our human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and unto life everlasting. Amen.